Welcome to Hardstop, talking marketing, tech, business, and more with industry leaders and game changers.
Our guest today is Martin George, CEO of LTC Language Solutions.
You know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs really, you know, we do give up, don't we? We get distracted, we get discouraged because there are so many things that can go wrong as we're trying to do a business, and we got a split second to make some of those decisions. You have a split second to make great decisions, and you're not great at IT and HR and finances. You might be great at language, but you got all those other things to deal with.
And now it's your Hard Stop host, Adam Ritz.
And let's jump right into the Hard Stop show with Martin George. Martin, so proud to have you on the show. And I'll say once again, have you on my show, because I've had you on several shows ago on a different show I do. Now this is a brand new show that you're a part of, and I'm happy to have you here. It's Martin George. Hello.
Thanks. Ni hao, ni men zhou yang.
So we don't really need to explain to our listeners that you are multilingual. I have no idea what you just said.
You know, but you were good because you said multilingual. A lot of people say bilingual or bicultural. Now we're multilingual, multicultural. So good job, Adam.
You know, I don't usually get a lot right. This is off to a good start if I got that right.
Yeah.
Multilingual, you are the president, CEO of LTC Language Solutions, and we're proud to have you on this show to talk about your business, how you've, I guess, launched it in 93, was it? 1993?
Yeah, 1993.
I mean, that's some sustainability.
I must have been 5 years old.
You're when I such started. A young man. How you launched it, the idea behind it, how you said, you know what, I'm going to start this business. And now, you know, decades later, how it's grown into a nationally known brand and product. You've got, is it three locations now in Orlando?
Three physical locations where we have the entire space for ourselves. I spend a lot of money on brick and mortar around the U.S. and really around the world. We're in maybe seven countries right now.
And in the U.S., it's Orlando and Washington, D.C. and Indianapolis.
That's right.
So you're not just flying back and forth between those locations. You're flying all over the world.
I spend
seven
about,
countries your clients are in?
Yeah, I spend about 30 weeks a year on the road, and I think my staff love it that way. Because if I spend too much time with them, they always ask me, where are you going next? How long are you going to be here? And I don't think that's endearing. It's not like I want to spend time with you. But you were asking about, too, Adam, like how I started 24 years ago. So I was a professor at Indiana University. I was actually the director of the English as a Second Language program at IUPUI, and I had a lot of people from the local, you know, bigger companies like Lilly and Roche and Dow coming to us and saying, we have expats going out of the country, we're bringing people in, and we need business-focused language and cultural training. Can you do that? Typically, the university works on academic language. It's very different than business-related language development. So university said no, they had no interest, didn't want to do it. So professors were able to do something on the side, you know, write books, speak, get a little bit of money. So I started this. I was in my PhD, which was 8 hours a day, running ESL at IUPUI 8 hours a day, and starting LTC Language Solutions. It started as Language Training Center 8 hours a day. If you add that up, I didn't sleep very much.
No. And so it's important our listeners know, I'm sure they've got the gist of it by now. It's a language business. You're not only teaching people how to speak different languages and become multilingual, but you have clients, like you said, all over the world that need translation services or interpretation. Oftentimes, you're the conduit between business A and business B that want to do business with each other, but don't speak the same language.
That's right. Our tagline is really your connection to the worldwide conversation. So whether you're going overseas on a business trip to Germany, but you do it all the time for a company like Roche, you know, if you're going over there four, five, six times a year, you really do want to speak some German. You're not going to be what we used to call fluent or proficient, but you want to be able to speak something to your colleagues and the community. So we help with that, and it's business outcome related vocabulary and development. But if they need an interpreter while they're there to help them with the business negotiations, to sign the deals, those kind of things, we're able to do that also.
We have a Hard Stop coming up with Martin George. As you can tell, he's a busy guy. He's the CEO and president of his own company. Clients all over the world, really. Seven countries you're working with.
Yep.
Business-wise, your business started in 1993.
Quit saying that. Am I that old?
It doesn't sound that old to guys our age, because 93 seems like it was last week. But yeah, when you do the math, it was quite a while ago. How many years went by before you knew this thing was going to really spread, almost to the point to get your second location? when you started really building an employee roster and you're like, oh my gosh, this little, what I thought might have been a side job or hobby when I was teaching in college has now really become something substantial.
Yeah,
when
first,
did that click?
First 5 years were flat out hell. Just work your butt off every day. You don't even know if you're going to make payroll, you know, all that stuff. I would say somewhere between the 10th and 15th year, and Tony Robbins has some statistics on how many businesses, we've all heard how many businesses make it past 5 years, but you know, I think somewhere in that 10 to 15 year range, I said, I think this might work. I think this might stick. I think we got something here. Huh, I better pay a little bit more attention to what we're doing.
10 to 15 years in is when it finally clicked.
And
this
actually,
is going to work.
Actually, you know, if your listeners are interested, I'm sure they might not be, but I'm writing a book about my journey because I think it's pretty cool from the university to the business world. And hopefully it's coming out January 1 of next year. So, you know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs really, you know, we do give up, don't we? We get distracted. We get discouraged because there are so many things that can go wrong as we're trying to do a business, and we got a split second to make some of those decisions. You have a split second to make great decisions, and you're not great at IT and HR and finances. You might be great at language, but you got all those other things to deal with.
What were some of those decisions you've made over the years that maybe was a split second decision that you might have even forgot about the split second after you made the decision that turned out a week, a month, a year later to really pay off, and you're like, I am so glad I did that.
You know, I think one of the best things I've ever done in my business career was I started early with Roche as a client, and whoever was mentoring me, it was a guy over at Walker right now, and he said, you know, keep the people that you're dealing with very close to you. So I called them my 12 disciples. I took them to Symphony on the Prairie and many other things, and they helped me build my business. They said, we're giving you our expats, we're giving you our business, and then they told the other people. They brought all my other customers to me just by having monthly or quarterly meetings with them, seeing what else I could do. I only had a handful of clients. All I had is time, you know, but really building into them, helping them be successful. Successful because, you know, there are black hats and white hats in any industry. There were people who were double invoicing, who didn't invoice correctly, or, you know, played some of the games. We didn't do any of that. I didn't even know you could do that in business. I wouldn't have even known it back then, but now I see it and hear it a lot from other people who just have business, different business mindset, but really pouring into your customers, getting to know what they want. And I spent a lot of time with them and asking them for referrals, but it wasn't like calling them up and say, hey, can you give me a referral? They knew that I cared about them, cared about their business, and wanted them to be successful. So strange enough, 24 years ago, Roche was our first client. They bought a little company in the East Coast, 454. They bought a company in Wisconsin called Nimblegen, Roche Nimblegen. They bought Ventana for $6 billion in Arizona. And then they bought a little company called Genentech for $60 billion in San Francisco. What do you think they've done with us? 24 years later, we're still with them, and they've taken us with them everywhere they've gone. So I think that's the way, you know, what's the cost of that customer acquisition? I mean, not very high now because we do a few dollars with them. And so, you know, we keep in touch with them. We treat them right. We get to know really what they're thinking and what they need. We're old school in that way.
Well, you know, I'm hearing that loyal customer base, one of your first, if not first customer, how much that has meant to your growth and expansion and success. And I think that's great for myself and our listeners to hear, to remind ourselves that every little client you get along the way in your journey, you have no idea how much that relationship's going to grow into a potential client roster 24 years later.
Yeah.
And here we are with Martin George, CEO and president of LTC Language Solutions. Before I let you go, I want to have some fun because I know you've done a lot in the pro sports arena, negotiating contracts for professional athletes that can't speak the language of the country they're going to play in. And I think of the Yao Ming story you told me years ago. When Yao Ming came to America to play for the Houston Rockets, couldn't speak any English. You're in the room negotiating his contract.
Well, Rudy Tomjanovich actually came up to me and said, hey, we got to do the contract with Yao Ming, but before we even sign the contract, we're going to put him through some drills. So, you know, we're going to have today, and then I want you to tell him, go run and run and run some more, and you tell him to work out, because if we go to that contract and he can't do some of the physical things we need him to do, we're not making him the number one pick.
You were coaching too.
I was interpreting.
Did you have a whistle? The clipboard?
No, of course. I should, though, shouldn't I? I think I need one around LTC.
If you were coaching Yao Ming, yeah, put that on your resume.
Well, I was an education and coaching major at Ball State, so, you know, some of those come through, don't they?
So what would you say is the sport with the most, I guess, I've got an American perspective here. So when athletes come from across the globe to America, what's the one sport that needs your services the most that can't speak English?
Well, baseball. 40% Latino, Hispanic, from the Dominican Republic. We work with a few clients, like even the San Francisco Giants have been our clients for 7 years. They just gave us permission to do an article. So we're publishing an article right now. Hopefully it'll come out soon about what we've been able to do. We teach all their single A, double A, triple A players because, you know, they couldn't talk to the coaches. They couldn't talk to their teammates. They couldn't talk to the fans or the sponsors. They couldn't talk to the athletic trainer who they might need to say, you know what, I twisted my ankle out there. They couldn't communicate. They had a lot of problems. We had them, and then we had the Toronto Blue Jays, and we had the St. Louis Cardinals. So who won the World Series in the early 2000s? You know, we had Giants, Cardinals, Giants, Cardinals, and they let us put it on the website. And it's pretty cool because when we would go out on the field, they really couldn't get along. And there's a lot of things that happen when you can't speak the other person's language. You know, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're embarrassed, and they got to work together as a team. So really help. I mean, we're really proud of that work, and so are those organizations. And like I said, the Giants even want us to go down to the DR now and help with the, you know, those kids are pretty young, 16 years old. That are coming through the baseball training facilities that they have there. So helping them not only with English, but helping them with life skills like banking and nutrition and life skills so that when they come here, they're a little more polished. They know how to talk to fans because that's really uncomfortable. An 18-year-old kid, we're always surprised, aren't we, Adam? Yeah. The pressure that's on sports figures at 18 and 19 years old, and they're tempted to make some bad mistakes, as we know, because they're really young, and who's helping them?
The value as a sports owner, I'm putting myself now in the shoes of a guy that owns a $1 billion sports team, isn't just, from what you've just said, it isn't just negotiating the contract and then your job is done as the interpreter. The two things that jumped out at me are speaking to the trainer. So avoiding injury, because that, I mean, talk about a professional athlete as an investment. One torn ligament can ruin and end their career, and that's money wasted for everybody. So if you're able to translate one small tiny pain in the back of a leg to a trainer that can fix that problem and keep that player on the field for the next 10 years, that's money well spent for your services. And then the other thing is engaging the fans, because pro sports is such a business, and it only exists as a business because the fans are the customers. So if you've got a guy playing ball that can't even speak at all to the fans, you got to have some way to teach
some
him.
Some rapport, don't you?
So do you have like the top 10 phrases you need to know to at least in a post-game interview say so that fans will love you, love your team, and buy your jersey?
See, that's the second amazing thing you've done, because we even teach 911 operators to ask yes-no questions, because you want to say, is someone bleeding? Has someone been shot? Yes, no. See or no? You know, and so we do that with baseball players when they're starting. You know, we ask them to ask yes, no questions, so they don't get back this verbal onslaught that they have no idea what the other person said. But if you teach them to ask close-ended questions that they can get an answer of yes or no, they look like a genius, don't they? And so right from the beginning, you're setting them up for success.
Fascinating guy, Martin George, President, CEO of LTC Solutions. Real quick, your digital properties, .com, the Twitter, the Facebook, any of that?
Yep, ltclanguagesolutions.com, 888-456-1626. Find me on LinkedIn, Martin George. I don't know how you even do LinkedIn, but just go to Martin George, you'll find me. And I am a thought leader in the psycho-sociolinguistic world, and most people who know me say, why don't you just stop at psycho, you know? And I'm like, come on now. And then our Twitter handle is at LTC Worldwide.
Fantastic, and it would only be most perfect to end this broadcast with you in whatever beautiful language you want to pick, because I'm not going to know what you're saying.
Chilai, chilai, chilai.
Is that goodbye?
No, it's get up, stand up, stand up, stand up.
Say thank you, and you've been listening to Hard Stop.
谢谢你们刚才听到我们在说和Adam Ritz的show.
We've come to a hard stop. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends to download and listen to all Hard Stop shows at HardStopShow.com or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. I've got a hard stop, and this voiceover session is over.